I'm riding.
Oh yeah.
Along, singing the same old cowboy song.
Good morning, y'all.
That's been sung 100 times before.
Rosie on the house.
Got nothing but my name.
In our Arizona hour.
And I'm the only man I know to blame, but I'm living. I'm happy and I'm free.
Ow! Good morning. Thank you for setting your alarm early on this Saturday morning to tune in to our random hour, 7 to 8, where we cover just about any darn thing we want to cover. A lot of business to cover today. 8 o'clock, we're going to have some special guests in. Of course, be talking in the outdoor hour about your landscape and your gardening. At 9 o'clock, we want to talk about the invisible killer radon gas and what you might have to do to make sure your house isn't being infiltrated by that. And at 10 o'clock, we're going to dive deep into all the flooring selections that are out there on the market today.
So should give you a good case of the I wants.
It should. It really should. Lots of ground to cover today. So class is not dismissed. You are called into session, and stay tuned. We'll make this Saturday morning a great one for you. And boy, it's going to be easy for me to do because I'm coming off of just a super fantabulous week. We were able to take our oldest daughter, Rachel, and her two sons, who are in town just for this week, prior to moving to Tbilisi, Georgia, which just happens to be on the southern border of Russia. Now, what kind of neighborhood is that?
I guess we'll find out.
Ooh, man. Anyway, so we've got them for a week, and I thought, you know what, let's do something really special with them. Gabe is how old? He's seven?
He's six.
Six, and then little Alex is what,
four.
Three, four?
Well, he'll be four soon, on his next birthday, he says.
So what, as grandparents, can we do to plant little seeds, little legacy seeds in their heads here before they're going to Russia for 4 years? And I thought, ding, Lake Powell.
You picked a good one.
Huh? How could you not want to not go to Lake Powell with your grandsons? You know, I think grandparents just should always be on the lookout for creating opportunities to download fun life lessons and just plant little seeds of adventure in their grandchildren. I know too many grandparents that just kind of keep downloading their dogma, you know.
It's tempting sometimes.
It's tempting sometimes. You know, we've thought hard, Jennifer and I, over the last 37 years of marriage and 35 years of raising kids. What legacy did we want to leave our children? You know, one of the things we always wanted to do is we had the objective that we wanted our core values to go down at least two generations. After that, it's no longer our responsibility, right, babe?
It's kind of up to them. Yeah.
To carry it. If they could all just carry it on two generations, we'd be set. So we always wanted to leave an impression, an imprint on the kids that were strong enough and without downloading our dogma to let them develop the convictions in their own heart and their own mind of what they wanted to their legacy to be. So in the six kids we've got, I think we did a pretty good job. So we had an opportunity to download that to our grandchildren. And you know, our grandparents, my grandparents specifically, who we don't have anymore, always kind of remind us, Rosie, if you can get along with yourself, you can probably get along with anybody. And that was always kind of a little light bulb for me when I saw the kids or felt myself wrestling with relationship issues. I try to just turn it inwards and, okay, what's wrong in your head that you can't get along with yourself well enough to work your way through this relationship issue, whatever it is. So anyway, that's kind of our philosophy on raising kids and grandkids. And I have this opportunity. My sister says, I've got a houseboat available. Let's all have a family reunion on Lake Powell. And man, we jumped on that like chickens on June bugs. And so I've got my brother and his sister. He's an incredible chef.
His wife.
He's on, what did I say, his sister?
Sister, yeah.
We're not that kind of family reunion. So we've got my brother, who is an incredible chef, and his wife, and they're on the boat. Then I've got my sister and her husband, who are like the entertainers of the group. They've always got the next funny story. They've always got the next joke. They lived in Tokyo for a while. They've traveled the world a million times. They've always got a story about some corner of the world. I've got another sister who's the most incredible baker on the planet, also a great chef, and her husband, the lumberjack out of Colorado. And then my mom. And we're all on this one houseboat together. We've got a ski boat to go out there and go fishing. And then we've got my daughter and two grandsons. And at the last moment, Jennifer, at the very last moment, at the 11th hour, Jennifer has to bail out and can't make the trip.
Bummed.
Everybody seriously missed you, sweetheart.
Totally bummed.
So I'm thinking, how am I going to imprint these grandsons with something they can hang on to remember old grandpa? And Rachel, in the first place, isn't crazy about anything that's particularly hot weather. So,
Or lake oriented.
Well, and I got two strikes against the deal right there.
She grows up in Arizona.
The desert of Arizona.
Wayne joins the Army and goes full-time and they travel. She's lived in North Carolina in the mountains. She's lived in Seattle. She's lived in Germany.
Monterey, California.
Most of these places don't even have air conditioning units to cool the home. And this has been going on 12 years they've been on the road, 15 years.
It's right at 10.
That would be hard to come back to a hot desert. I remember the first time Gabe came after they were living outside of Seattle. It was Vancouver, wasn't it? No.
Tacoma.
And he looks at the sun, he goes, "What's that?"
He didn't understand short sleeves. He thought that was really weird.
Well, I was very encouraged on the drive home with Rachel to find out that when Wayne retires from the services, they are going to be relocating permanently to Arizona. But it's going to be above the rim, I suspect. So anyway, I'm trying to create this memory for my grandson, and I've got to get him that first fish, right? But before we get a first fish, we've got to teach him that first cast. So I take a fishing lure, and I cut all the hooks off, and we go over to the shore, and we start casting, and he's having his normal dilemma and troubles. You know, how many kids have we taught to fish? And you just go through it. And finally, he gets it well enough that I decide, okay, I'm going to put a hook lure on this fishing pole. And you know, sure enough, like his third cast, he reeled in a little bass.
Oh, that's fun.
It was absolutely one of those memories you just can't. I mean, the look on their eyes when the kid hooks into that first fish all by themselves and reels that thing in.
There are some pictures on Facebook of your trip.
Oh, mm-hmm. At Rosie on the House?
Yeah, Rosie on the House, Facebook.
Well, she took a lot of pictures. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of pictures. So a couple things about Lake Powell for those of you that are regularly traveling is, look, if you haven't experienced Lake Powell, you've got to. It is absolutely, New Mexico calls itself the land of enchantment. I'll tell you, when I hit Lake Powell, the word enchantment is the one that just, it's just every corner, around every corner is some unbelievable view and experience. So here's my tips on Lake Powell. Go in late September. It's after the monsoons. The water temperature's still great. The daytime temperature's much better than in the middle of the summer. There's no clouds. And boy, what a super bonus this year to be able to watch the blood harvest supermoon on Lake Powell.
And I would imagine it's not as crowded that late in this winter either.
Oh, the marinas.
Or fall, I should say.
All the slips are full of boats.
That's worth it by itself.
You go out there on the lake and your beaches you got to yourself. Lake Powell, man, 24 million acre feet of water. So just that lake can provide 24 million people with all the water they need for 1 year.
Wow. Hey, you know, just thinking about water, are you ready to go to the water management? Last month we had the water management group in, and they were talking about how we need to harvest and preserve water. They've been in Tucson for a lot of years,
right,
but just in the Phoenix area for 4. And you can go to different sites across the city to see. And one of them is at the Phoenix Zoo in the Children's Farm Barnyard area. You can see a rain harvesting. And then they have a sweet little church at 701 First Street, Primera Iglesia, I think.
Yeah.
Little Methodist church where you could just see that whole property is completely rain harvest supported. So
No plant irrigation system at all.
No watering
system.
No, to get it started, they had to bring in water. But once you get it established, it takes care of itself.
It's possible.
It is possible.
You can do this.
Well, I just want to give a quick plug for them. They have coming up the whole month of October on Friday nights at the Sunup Brewing Company. You can go and take a class. They have it on hydrating your home, your plants, your yard, your food, the different topics. And each time you go, you get to meet like-minded people. Plus, you have a class, and then you have a take-home project. You go home with a plan in place to get started. So it's a wonderful organization.
How brilliant is it to have a water-saving conversation at a brewery?
But I just, you know, it is worth the time because I had to convince you it was worth time to do rain harvesting in the Phoenix area, but we figured our own roof produces about 14,000 gallons of water per year that we could harvest.
And that's a 1 month supply for an average Phoenix family.
And we challenged everybody during that show
to find something.
And we've done one thing so far. We've cut back the water on all our natural trees, like the mesquites and the Palo Verdes. We cut the water.
And that's the only trees we have on our property, indigenous Arizona trees. And I just shut the valve off. And unless we go through an extremely long duration next spring, that February to June period, those trees are going to, I mean, they're going to live or die on their own at this point. And it's going to cut down how much trimming we have to do and how much hedging and how much maintenance we have on them. And it's going to make a big step in Jennifer and my's pledge and the challenge that I threw out to all of you. Let's all find a way we can cut our residential water consumption by 10%.
The grass is next.
That's the cutting down on the amount of lawn we have in the backyard as
Which
well.
Is funny because that's as beautiful of a lawn as I've ever seen at Dad's house, ever.
We'll talk about that in the 8 o'clock hour. Everything I ignore really flourishes.
And everything I cut down grows back.
More when we get back. And if you'd like to join the conversation or have tips about traveling Lake Powell, give us a ring, 1-888-767-4348. It was absolutely beautiful.